WBBM, Chicago, time is 10:50. CBS Radio, Mystery Theater, presents...
I'm willing to marry your daughter.
For her money, that's reality.
Who would marry her for any other reason?
I cannot accept you because you are a scoundrel.
Who else but a scoundrel would marry for money? I would be kind to her, good to her,
for a while. And then, because you have no real staying power, you'll become tired of her, leave her, after going through all her money. And there she'll be, all alone in the world.
Actually, she's all alone in the world now, isn't she?
Well, I'm alive. At least she'll have money.
Hardly a warm comfort on a cold evening.
It's all a matter of what you're used to. Now, while you're up to me, will you sign the agreement and pick up your check?
Now, you may ask, why take a crumb when you might have the whole banquet? Well, you know what they say on Wall Street. Sometimes the bears win, sometimes the bulls win. But the pigs, they always lose. And yet, although I'm certainly not a pig, I always lose, too. Not because I'm greedy, but because I have too much faith. Faith in horse flesh. Faith that certain numbers will come up on various wheels. Faith that specific combinations of spots will appear on certain dice. Why go on? In less than 50 days, or an average of $1,000 a day, that $50,000 was gone. Gone with the wind. And so, it was time to visit my sister. Big Sister Sally, where I could find respite and comfort. Or in other words, where I could preload until something turned up. It is magnificent.
You should know. You bought it for me.
Did I? I forgot.
You can have it.
What are you talking about?
Richard, you're broke.
Now, what makes you say that?
Because you're here.
And a man can't just come and visit his sister.
Look, you could get $300-$400 for it, Richard, and you need the money.
Do you think I would sink so low?
You've sunk lower.
Sally.
But I'm short on cash right now.
But, Sally, I don't want it.
The tuition went up at the college, and the twins can't earn very much money. And it's all I can do to hold my job at the radio station, much less ask for a raise.
Sally, if you think I would deprive you of the one thing that brings you joy in life, your classical music.
But I just want you to know you can have it any time you need it. Poor Richard. It isn't your fault.
What isn't my fault?
I'm to blame also.
For what?
Old I was when you were born.
Yes, of course I know.
15. And Mom and Papa, they were close to 50. And then suddenly there was this little baby in the house, like a beautiful doll. Everyone made such a fuss over you.
Sally, what does all this have to do with my...
We petted you, we covered you. Oh, we worshipped you. You were so handsome. And you knew it. We were clay in your fingers.
What are you trying to tell me?
No one could say, including me, that you were growing up into a beautiful, self-centered parasite.
Now, that isn't fair.
Of course not, but it's true. You live completely for your own pleasure. Why not? It pleases us that you can do so. But soon, Richard, soon...
What?
Soon your ravishing looks will no longer take everyone's breath away. That's because they'll no longer be ravishing. And then what becomes of you? Already your hair shows signs of becoming thin.
That isn't true.
Your little lines.
Where?
And you're over 40. You're starting to look it.
What are you saying?
Richard, please, let me help you.
Oh, fine help you are talking this way.
If I could only convince you to settle down, find a job, a wife, and stop being a bad boy.
Well, thank you for that most encouraging and inspiring vote of confidence. If ever I need a boost for my morale, I know just where to go. What you said wasn't true. Or was I lying to myself? Were all the little signs there, and was I afraid to acknowledge them? Suddenly, I realized that even if they weren't there now, it was only a matter of time. I couldn't look young forever. I couldn't remain handsome forever. There are moments which we recognize as decisive. And I knew that one had arrived for me. I knew I'd have to determine the future course of my existence.
Richard, are you all right?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, fine.
You know what you need is fresh air to clear your head.
My head is perfectly clear.
Why don't you go for a walk? By the stream?
No, I'd rather sit in the house.
Oh, but it's such a beautiful day.
All right, Sally, all right. If it'll make you happy, I'll go for a walk.
By the stream.
All right. By the stream. Actually, the walk was rather a good idea. The air was like sparkling wine. I was so busy thinking about Gloria all nature was. But I didn't see her standing by the edge of the stream. I almost knocked her into the water.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Oh, no, it isn't all right.
I'm sorry, you didn't do it on purpose.
I was so busy thinking, I'm sorry, I was in a world of my own.
So was I.
Oh, really? Oh, what were you thinking about?
Well, in that stream is an entire swarm and universe. Vast worlds made up of trillions of creatures, most of whom we cannot see.
I would say that's rather deep.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking what fun it would be if I could meet a beautiful girl and take her to lunch, and I just met her.
No, I'm not a beautiful girl. I'm not even pretty. The truth is, I'm rather plain.
I think you're beautiful.
I think you're kind.
Lunch? That. It had to be a reflex action. I see a girl and I have to score, even if I don't want her. And who would want leaves of curran? He was right. He was plain. Her figure just adequate. Her dress just this side of dowdy. And you didn't have to be ashamed to be seen in public with her. But that's about all I can say in her favor. Of course, if she had $1 million. Found out.
I'm just a school teacher.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Why?
Well, the thrill of molding young minds and so forth.
Yeah, I found it dull.
Oh. Well, then why don't you leave it?
Poor bother. Wherever I'd go, I'd just be an old maid school teacher.
Oh, you have such a low opinion of yourself.
Perhaps. But it's the only one that can be justified.
It's all in the mind. You can be anything you want to be.
You can say that. You know why? Because you're one of the golden people.
I never knew that. Who are the golden people?
Ah, they're born with looks and luck. And everyone's attracted to them. Everything works for them.
Well, you ought to meet my sister.
Oh, well, no, sorry. Who else then?
Oh. Then I didn't pick you up.
No.
What a blow to my ego.
If you think that was a blow, this would knock you out. Sally and I, we arranged this apparently casual encounter. We used to suggest that you take a walk toward the lake and I would be there.
Oh, I see.
Sally was wrong to entertain even a faintest notion that a man like you could even consider a girl like me. And I call myself a girl. I'm 35.
And never been to?
No. Not often. Not often enough.
Do you know something? You're about to be kissed right now. But what?
In public?
It's fine. You don't object to being kissed. It's just the time and place.
Oh, please, Richard. Everyone will see you.
But that's all she said.
Richard, I... Oh. Richard.
I don't believe that. It's crazy.
Oh.
How did it happen? But here and now, and suddenly, for the first time in my life, I'm in love.
I'm in love with you.
Oh, I'm frightened, Louisa.
I'm sorry. Frightened.
Isn't it said that man fears nothing as much as the unknown? Certainly, to a man like Richard Paragon, love is an unknown quantity. Something new is strange. No wonder he's apprehensive. However, I'm aware some of you hard cases in our audience are probably saying, a story about love is all very well in its way, but when is someone going to be killed? They see friends. I think it's going to be that, too. Love. It has been likened to a blossom that matures and flowers like the fruit of a tree. But then, of course, we have all sorts of fruits. We have the beautiful fruit that nourishes and pleases, and we also have this beautiful fruit that poisons and kills. How do you tell them apart? Sometimes the only way is to taste. Ah, but you say that's dangerous. Well, if you're looking for safety, keep away from love.
Richard, cut it out.
Cut what out?
You know what I'm talking about. Louisa Curran. I'll cut the line you've been handling. She's not like the others.
It isn't a line.
If you break her heart, I'll never forgive you.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Sally. You are the one who arranged for me to meet Louisa Curran. You are the one who worked up a cute little plot so that I could encounter her by accident. You are the one who brought us together. Now that your strategy has worked...
I was wrong. I sometimes lose myself in fantasy. I saw you as a man who, deep in his heart, wanted the love of a wonderful woman.
And you're right. I need that love.
Like a shark needs a mackerel. But I was carried away. And so I did something dreadful. I exposed you to Louisa.
No. You did something wonderful, Sally.
You're just making a play for her.
You're wrong. Take me at my word. Did I ever go for a girl without money?
Louisa has some money. She's been saving for years.
Oh, I'm talking about real money. If I'm as bad as you say, why would I bother to make a play for her?
Because she's there. Look, this isn't exactly a bustling metropolis up here. You're bored, restless, frustrated, and she's available.
What are you making out of this?
She's not like any woman you've known. If she finds out this is just your way of passing the time, she could kill us.
Sally, I'm serious.
Richard, I've never asked you for anything, but I am now. Please. Don't break her heart.
Has it ever occurred to you that she might be breaking mine?
If you don't have a heart.
As recently as yesterday, I might have agreed with you. And then this strange, wonderful thing happened.
I don't believe you.
Maybe it's something else. Maybe I looked closely at myself for the first time. Maybe I was terrified by what I saw. Maybe I was struck suddenly by the emptiness, the hopelessness of my stupid life. Maybe that's why I want her. Does it matter why we love?
Richard, I never heard you speak this way before.
For the first time in my life, I'm serious. But it could all be a joke. Do you want to hear the punchline? I don't really impress her at all.
Oh, what are you saying?
I can't get to first base.
Oh, I wish I could feel sorry for you. As you have done unto others, so it is now being done unto you.
Thank you. I know I can always come here for inspiration and comfort.
We don't have the time, Dennis. Just let the canoe drift.
Louisa.
Just cross the line, I thought. If you talk, you'll scare away all the fish. But lean the thing. There's a time for silence and contemplation.
Now, why do you dangle that stupid line in the water? You've already caught the biggest fish in the lake. Please, Richard, what? Every time I tell you I love you, you say, please, Richard.
I can't believe you when you say you love me. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have that knack for pleasing men that so many girls just seem to be born with. But why should you be so good? Any girl in the world wants me.
Ah, but I can't have any girl in the world. It appears that I can't have you.
Richard, every girl dreams of a time like this. And for more reasons than I like to remember, I dreamed of it too. When I stopped dreaming, I accepted reality.
What's reality?
Love would not be for me. It was hard to accept that I was able to come to terms with it when I was able to make a life for myself, so now it's a truth. Please don't.
But why?
It would be so easy for me to fall in love with you.
I want you to fall in love with me.
Richard,
Let me show you how easy it is.
It's familiar.
Let it. Well, it didn't. I looked into her eyes, and at that moment she was beautiful. Everything about her was beautiful. I was happy. Happier than I'd ever been in my life. The vagabond days were over. Just in time, I found a wonderful girl. And a job. Yes, it was one thing I could always do, and that was sex. And so I took a job in a sports car salesman. I would make a fortune, but I didn't need a fortune. The house was adequate, comfortable, and all paid for. And every night we would sit, listening to music, and planning for our wedding.
Do you love me, darling?
I love you.
And we'll be happy. Here, in Father's home.
Yes.
Wonderful. You love me.
I adore you.
Yes, Dad. You've been all over the world and seen everything, done everything. And now you're satisfied to be here. Just to be here. My darling, you love me.
You don't have to keep asking every 30 seconds.
You still love me. I don't know how to behave. It's been in love and sorrow and being.
Me?
Buying a car is just an excuse to meet you.
An
And you would spend $25,000 just for an excuse?
$25,000.
I looked into those brilliant blue eyes, which I mistaken it was just a hint of madness. Nobody could be that cavalier about $25,000. Okay, she was crazy, and this was a joke, but she was so beautiful, there was really no harm in it. I mean, the waiter came over and said I had a telephone call. It was from Dolly, the sales manager's secretary. Yeah, from Matt. The check's no good, huh? She says her name is Jane Clark. Really, Jane?
It's all over town.
What's all over town?
You and Miss Jane Clark.
I understand you're about to become number 7.
That's a lucky number.
And Louisa, you have broken her heart.
All right, let's settle this. You broke her heart.
Really?
You. Look, I'm not good, but you wouldn't let me alone. You had to reform me.
I told you not to break Louisa's heart.
I'm sorry. I'm what I am, Sally. I'm self-centered, pleasure-loving, and if I did have a weak moment...
You'll kill yourself.
That's blackmail.
Oh, Richard, please. Have pity.
Oh, look out for pity. Too often it's a disguise for weakness.
Oh, you have all the answers.
You want me to stay with her for the rest of her life because I have pity for her?
I heard it. Louisa, the door was open. Richard, I know how to stand, but please don't walk away from me.
I'd better leave you here alone.
Stay, stay.
Stay, stay, Louisa.
You told me to help me. Was it true?
Yes. At that time, and in that place, it was true.
Yes.
Love is a living thing. And like many living things, it can wither and die.
How can you let me alone? I wasn't bothering you. Are you happy?
I'm sorry.
I gave up all my defenses, and they were strong. They could have protected me for the rest of my life.
I said I'm sorry.
And that's all you can say.
Louisa, I'm really not worth it.
That's true. You're kind of good. But I was going to give full value. You'll never again meet someone who will have waited for you all her life.
Louisa, there are certain things that just were not meant to be.
You won't eat it at one day. You need the kind of love that only I can give you.
But I won't be there. Oh, of course not. You'll marry someone who's worthy of you.
No, it could never be anybody else. Besides, I'll be dead. I'm going to kill myself.
Oh,
no,
no,
I can't go back to the almost stupid. This is why it's intolerable. And I'm dead inside. If it is,
well... You're being very melodramatic.
I'm also being very realistic. I don't have anything I consider worth living for.
Oh, you can't.
You should tell her something.
What can I tell her?
Tell her you'll stay and marry her.
But I can't do that because I don't love her.
She's right. She's right. Well, you're a thing that any of us can do about it. She does that with his heart, and I have to do it for her. The golden people, like gold, they can belong to anyone. And have no feeling.
Even if it started, I just couldn't feel anything for her. I was conscious of her looking as she looked the first moment I saw her. Plain and just this side of doubting. How could I possibly live with her for the rest of my life? I'd probably wind up killing her. No, I was giving her a favor. She feels badly now, but she'll get over me. The fact is, no one ever dies for love. For money, yes. For love, no. Well, Jim and I were married. Let me give you gentlemen a piece of advice. If you can't be born rich, marry rich. There's nothing like it. You wait for nothing for no one. Everything is possible.
And she also loves me. Well, I live at 10, lucky 7.
Listen, you may have been married 6 times, but I'm the first real husband you ever had.
That's what I love about you. You're absolute modesty.
Well, if they were so good, why did you divorce them?
I thought of the grammar. What do you think?
Just music.
Is there anything I hate worse than classical music?
No, this isn't too bad, and I only tuned it in because the news comes on in a minute.
We don't have to listen to news. We can make our own. It's about country, if you like.
This is Dolly Smith with the local news. Brought to you at this time by Special Pharmacy.
Who is this? Where's this coming from?
Sadler Corners. My sister's the announcer.
Why don't we buy her a decent radio station?
This is going to be a very difficult program for me. My lead story is about my best friend. Her name is Louisa Curran, who taught school here for 15 years. When Louisa didn't show up for her classes this morning, I was asked to see if she was all right. And she wasn't home, but I found a note. She said she had had enough of life, not to try to find her, because she was just quietly going to put an ending to her life. It was very much like Louisa. She intended to die as she had lived, without being a bother to anyone. And before I came on, I asked our engineer to play her favorite melody. And as a tribute to Louisa, I would like for him to play some more of it.
Wow. Is he so?
Did you know it?
Who?
It's for Ace of Spirits.
No.
That isn't true. We are engaged here.
Oh, darling, the past is the past.
No, it's always present. Thank you. When you lie, you remind me of my second husband.
Why?
Because he could lie better than you can.
Oh, really?
Why did you break your engagement?
Because I fell in love with you.
Don't compete with my second husband. You can't win.
I married you for your money.
Why you remind me of my first husband? He believed in being busy, fast.
So how do I compare with him?
For just the same. Not as different.
Does everything I do remind you of one of your ex-husbands?
This holding covered practically all the ground there is. Let's do something today.
All right. Tennis.
Oh, we did that all day yesterday.
Sailing?
I'm bored with sailing. Tennis, bad.
Let's hop on a jet and go to Europe.
You're bored.
Those brilliant blue eyes. When I saw them for the first time in the saloon, I thought they had a touch of madness. But now I could see a kind of icy sparkle, and a shiver went through my body. I could see myself reflected in those eyes. My hair was thinner than I had ever remembered. I had lines on my forehead at the corners of my mouth. I was getting just the slightest sag under my chin. Was this how I was beginning to look for her? Jane, turn that music off. What are we doing with a record player in the bedroom?
Jane, yes, sir.
Hello.
You know who I am?
Yes.
I know there's been so many women in your life, but you must remember me.
No.
You do, yes, sir. You do.
You're dead, Lisa. Dead. I just heard it on the news this morning.
That's true. I'm dead.
This is a dream. If only I could wake up from this awful dream.
It isn't a dream. I'm here.
I'm
here to keep my promise.
What promise?
It was our bargain. Whichever one of us died first would come back for the other. Your literature would come back for Orson.
I can't do it.
When I'm dead, I can't live without you.
Oh, hey, please.
Look at her, Richard. Fast asleep next to you. What is she doing now? You can't tell. But I can. She's dreaming of her other husband and of all the things they could do better than you. It's compassion time, isn't it?
What if you see?
You're starting to become bored.
No, you always married a man for a reason.
Why did she marry you?
Because she thought you were inventive.
Why can't I wake up? You're up now.
I'm mad.
You should look in the mirror. Look at the golden boy. The gold is becoming tarnished. You're getting older every day. He's already noticed. Come with me.
I
love you no matter what you look like. I'll never compare you to anyone because I never had anyone else. Come with me. Look.
Louisa. Can you forgive me?
Oh, my darling. I
suddenly feel old and tired.
I'm frightened. I love you.
I need you. Oh, how I need you, Louisa. I never said that to any woman.
I love you more than ever, then. Come with me.
Yes.
Yes. Where did you go?
Louisa, where did you go?
Where did you go?
Louisa.
Well, what did you do, Louisa?
I didn't do it. What did you do with her?
She was just here.
You're
not here. You must have had a nightmare. She's tired.
Ah, is that how it works? You're tired of me, so you'll get everyone to think I'm crazy, but you won't get away with it. You won't cross me outside. I'm not like them. I won't stand for it. I won't.
Richard?
Yes.
I hope to feel more calm this morning.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Jane feels better, too.
Jane?
I spoke with her, and he says it would help you to know that he forgives you.
I think so,
Of course, you'll have to stay here.
Oh, no. No, I'll be leaving soon.
And Jane says you'll see that you're provided for the rest of your life.
Oh, yes, I'll be going. Louise is coming for me.
Louise? Richard, dear, you have to face the fact that Louisa is dead.
Yes, I know that. And that's why she's coming back for me. I don't want her to be there alone.
Richard,
you'll come for me. You'll see.
Oh, Mr. Layton.
I got a letter for you today, and I don't know what to make of it. So, look at the handwriting.
Hmm. It's a Collins writing.
It can't be for Miss Collins. He's good.
Yes, Paris. Obviously, I'm not dead. I meant to end it all that day, and what I did in style, so I decided to have a final fling. I took all my money from the bank and I put it into makeup and clothes and a set. And you know, I found myself. Or the world found me. I mean, men found me. I thought I was nobody. And I was nobody. Well, I found a new attitude and I became somebody. Mrs. Somebody. I am now Mrs. Elroy Carter. He's a lawyer. He's wonderful. And it isn't too late for us to have a father. And I owe it all to Richard. It was Richard who sent me out into the world. Give him my best the next time you see him.
So you see, in all of us, there is the potential to do good, to help our fellow man and women. And Richard, who used and abused women all his life, is the man who did the most for them in the end. I'll do that to do something for you. The golden people, fortune favored. It all comes so easy, the climb up the ladder. But that climb up isn't everything. No one stays on top forever. The problem in life is to know when to come down and to defend gracefully without being pushed. Our cast included William Redfield, Marion Seldes, Bryna Rabin, and E.V. Jester. The entire production is under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time.